Right now, if you're scaffing, critting, screeding, HVACing, dunny diving, or electricianing and sparking, then you don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with a work truck that's smoking. You could get an insurance company that includes roadside assistant for when your work truck ain't starting and needs towing. Get on to truckassist.com.au. It's insurance to keep on earning and bacon and egg rolling. Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website.
This week on Full Credit to the Noise, Max Verstappen doesn't win a Grand Prix, Cam Waters finds another bloke with no spatial awareness in Craftsman trucks, and Will Brown joins the NASCAR circuit. Welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. You can find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at FCTTN Podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke across from me on Twitter at AVL_motorsport. He's on Instagram at AVL.motorsport. He's on ChatGPT at AVL.ai. He's a man who this week has taken four boogie board bags over to Bali. He's become the face of the Seminyak Supercar Street Race, and tonight he's wearing a Bintang singlet as a pair of shorts. Welcome to Speed Cafe's Andrew Van Leeuwen.
Thank you, former, and you are quite right. I am in Perth's most northern suburb, known as Seminyak, as we speak. That's my commitment to the podcasting cause, even showing up when I'm on holidays. And I am enjoying an ice cold Bintang as we chat. So who knows? We could get into some wild areas this week.
I'm not casting aspersions, mate, but I'm not sure I would have went with a hair braiding. I'm going to be honest. It's not for me.
You know,
especially downstairs.
At the 500th time of asking, when you've walked about 100 metres down the road, you just can't say no anymore.
Yeah, especially the downstairs department you got done. That's quite taking. Glad you showed me that. Now, what's happened this week? Well, it's probably, would it be too much to ask if we can begin this show? I mean, I know we just started in a jovial mood, but with a bit of a moment's silence, it's been a very solemn week for motor racing fans, particularly F1 fans. And I'm sure we can gather as one, as a whole community, and just feel the sadness, share the sadness and the despair and the horror of Lando Norris winning his first ever Grand Prix. I mean, it is an absolute shit show from the outset. The jokes are gone, the fun's gone, yeah. And I don't know if I'll watch Formula One again this year.
It would have been nice if Oscar had just got a proper Grand Prix win before
I agree so much.
Lando did.
And part of that race, I thought, we're on here.
Yeah, that might have really pushed Lando over the edge, but like another Australian that he generally has, you know, the slightest of edges over actually winning a Grand Prix before him, that might have sent him straight to the straight out to pasture, I reckon. He might have never come back from that. So yeah, it is a shame for the people that love ripping on him that he's won a race. Seem to be lots of people that are really happy about it as well, because he's obviously incredibly popular.
I seen a photo of Daniel embracing him after the show. So you're dead to me, you rat. I can't have you either. It just wasn't good. But I tell you what, there was an interesting tweet that came out of the Miami Grand Prix. Check out this for food prices, and this is legit. They were selling lobster rolls there at one of the stands at the race. Lobster, main lobster roll, $280 AVL. That is a good buy.
This has got to be a piss take. I saw this going around. It has to be a piss take. Is it a piss take, or you reckon it's legit?
Oh, I don't think so. They reckon the Las Vegas one was out of control, and this one wouldn't have been much different. Yellowfin tuna poke bowl, $170. That's a bargain. Prawns are $290. There's an F1 platter, which has a few different things on it. It's $290. It's all seafood.
That's where the value is. That's where the value is, I reckon. There. Like the you're platter. Actually getting, yeah, you're getting a bit for that. Relatively speaking.
Oh, you'd be filthy if you got food poisoning for it. I'll tell you that
like,
now.
Main lobster rolls. Is there like 15 of the fucking things? Like, how that's $290?
That's a good bread roll. That's a very good bread roll, I've got to be honest.
Jesus. I'm going to start selling some. I've still got a fair bit of Western Rock lobster in the freezer. I might sell a few of those out the front of Wanneroo Raceway in a couple of weeks, I reckon. Just a little street side stand. $290.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the market for it, but have a crack. So let me know how you go. I'll be very interested to see how much lobster you take home.
If I sold two or three of them, I'd be pretty happy. Like, you don't need with margins like that, you don't need a lot of volume.
And talking of food and cars, I don't know if I sent you this story. A food delivery rider is set to face court as he amassed a staggering, get this, 240 demerit points on Sydney roads over the last 4 months. That's a good effort. The 23-year-old was pulled over performing an illegal U-turn, the Daily Telegraph has reported. He produced a French driver's license, but it was discovered he also had a New South Wales C-class license, which was suspended. So they let him go with an infringement notice. He was just a day later, he was pulled over again for random breath tests and again produced his French driver's license. He blew over the breath test, mainly because he's French and got garlic on his breath, and again was pinched. It was only then that the police applied to Transport for New South Wales to obtain his driving record and discovered he'd amassed 240 demerit points since January. And you know who he reminds me of? Kevin Magnussen, because he dead set accumulated about 3 hours of time penalties in Saturday's sprint race, driving like an absolute machine. Oh, that was comedy gold. Did you see any of that?
I didn't see much of it just because of the time difference and I had stuff on over the weekend, but I did sort of read some comments sort of saying there was no way around it. Just had to kind of do it. And it did seem like, did seem pretty wild. I was actually wondering, when you started talking about breathalyzers and French licenses, I was wondering if you were talking about a factory Peugeot TCR driver, to be honest. But it turns out you weren't. So that's
very unlucky, that bloke. Very unlucky.
Was it? No, he was an Audi driver, right, wasn't he? He wasn't a Peugeot driver. Audi driver? Yeah, was he, NPC.
I thought it was
Audi
Peugeot,
driver.
I think.
No, he was an Audi driver. He was there with NPC. I remember a very hilarious exchange about where an excuse was rolled out about a bad scallop pie and an illness, and it was put to this particular person that there'd also been a failed breathalyzer test, which may, what about that? What role did that play in it? Oh, nothing.
Even my brethren in the rugby league world would shake their head at the pie story. I don't think they'd even go for that one. So if rugby league shaking their head, it's no good. It's not going to pass. All right, let's go to the shift cut. And we start with the story that Luna Lacroix will return to race engineering duties with the departure of Mirko De Rosa from the Premier Newlon Racing team. Now, it's an interesting side story, given the addition of former Erebus Enduro driver Dave Russell to the squad, with many asking, are they really getting ready for Brody's arrival, AVL?
I think it's still considered the most likely destination for the 2023 champ at the moment, no doubt about that. The interesting thing is he can't actually formally negotiate until September because of his contract, and that's fairly normal, but it does kind of make it a bit tricky to have proper chats about what you're going to do and where you're going to go. Of course, it doesn't mean you can't accidentally bump into someone in the street somewhere and have a chat about what you're doing next year. But we're not necessarily going to hear a whole bunch because no one's going to want to give too much away until Brody hunting season begins and he can actually legitimately start negotiating. From a Premier perspective, I guess there's some feet finding to be done on the technical front, given there was so much off-season movement. Ludo's the sort of guy who likes things done his way, so I think sort of striking the balance in chemistry will take some time as well. So it's kind of, if you look at how top-heavy they've gone engineering-wise, it's probably not the most surprising news in the world.
Well, let's get back to Brody. Speaking of Brody, Erebus Motorsport has locked in TFH Hire Services as a backer, but only for Brody Kostecki's car for the remainder of the supercar season. There is no word on who will be backing the Jack LeBrock car. What's the scoop here?
This is an interesting one. I mean, that was a three-round deal to start the season with TFH. There were question marks over whether TFH would continue at all. They have, but it appears to, as you say, to only be on the one and not the nine. So I guess we'll see what they do with the number nine. At the same time, if we talk about this kind of looks like TFH scaling back in some respect, the rumour mill does have TFH owner Brett Thomas among the potential suitors to buy Erebus. Now, it's just something that's getting floated. So whether this is a scale back or whether it's a launch pad for something bigger, I genuinely don't know right now, but it's a space to be watched.
Can I just say about TFH? They have gone in boots and all. They're sponsoring everything from Pulsars. I've seen them on a number of cars in the last few weeks. So they are spreading the money thin or thick, depends on how you look at it. The other thing about this is too, obviously, is this also confirms Todd Hazelwood as Brody's co-driver for the Enduros.
Yes, it did. Yeah, so a bit of a shuffle around there. So whoever comes into that team will co-drive with Jack. And yeah, that sort of locks in what is, you know, a very strong partnership there, particularly when you think about the fact that that Todd did 500K of racing around Bathurst just a couple of months ago. Pretty handy.
Yeah, handy. Handy. Will Brown will likely be the next supercar star to make his debut in the NASCAR Cup Series. Richard Childress Racing officials confirmed to Autosport that the team is in discussions with Brown to drive the number 33 Chevrolet in the 9th of June race at the Sonoma Road Course. While the deal is not yet complete, an RCR spokesman said it was close to being finalized with an accompanying official announcement.
Yeah. This definitely has some legs to it. This one has Peter Addison's very clever fingerprints all over it. You know, the guy who did wear, not Peter, but, you know, Will's the guy who wore the Boost hat when he took pole in Bathurst at the start of the year. He's the other member of the Erebus Exodus. He'll be in the Mobile X NASCAR that Brody was meant to race. Brody will never admit this, but surely it's got to sting a little bit. I mean, you know, Will got the Erebus exit that they both wanted. Will's looking every bit like the title favourite this year in supercars, and now he's sort of got this NASCAR ride that was very much earmarked for Brody. He's kind of living what would be Brody's best life in a way, you know. So I think that this is regardless of what you think about Pete, the guy knows marketing. He knows how to get his name out there and his brand out there. And there would have been only one, you know, straight away he would have been thinking, yeah, I know exactly how I'm going to do this to make a bit of an impact. So, yeah, very interesting.
Not bad. Cam Waters has delivered some parting words for Lane Riggs after their pit lane exchange following the Kansas NASCAR Truck Series on the weekend. Riggs was obviously angered by a final lap contact between the two, gesticulating at Waters before one of the Australians' own Thor Sport Racing crew members stepped in to fire back with some words of his own. Waters finished 19th in his second appearance in the NASCAR Truck Series at Kansas, one position ahead of where he qualified.
I mean, Lane Riggs sounds like a character out of Friday Night Lights for starters, but, you know, like, according to Cam, he actually went over to Riggs to have a friendly chat about what a great race that had. Like, they'd battled it right
did.
To the
Genuinely,
end.
Genuinely, I think he did.
No, he did. He went over there to sort of say, man, how good was that? And then just copped this mouthful. Not that Cam is any sort of shrinking violet who can't hold his own in a confrontation. So I would imagine that in the heat of the moment, Cam would have very much stood his ground.
Mm.
And his response about how Riggs was just shitty because he was slow all night was all time. I enjoyed that greatly as well.
I'm not sure when you're running for 18th and 19th, it's time for fingers in the chest kind of deal. I don't think that's where that sort of begins and ends.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Nah.
We need to see it. We need to see more of it.
Let's go to the Formula Ones over the weekend. In the sprint race, Max Verstappen couldn't quite believe when he was told he'd taken the pole in the sprint race. He said, what happened to the others? He said, I mean, I'll take it, but He actually put in a lap where he came over the back chicane and the thing was cranked sideways and he still somehow grabbed pole. It was a sensational session for Daniel Ricciardo. Saw him rocket into fourth on the grid. He started fourth. He finished fourth, where he also started fourth in last year's Mexican Grand Prix. And then for the GP, he qualified 17th, but dropped three places to run Stone Motherless. And as we covered off on at the start of the show, sadly, Lando Norris got off the duck after 1 million races.
This is going to be a very unpopular opinion because people love Lando. Your Lando hate is not going to go down
rubbish.
Well there. But anyway, that's fine. That's
rubbish. Fine. And once again, poor old Oscar was stiffed by a safety car.
Yeah.
If that safety car comes out when he hadn't taken his pit stop, things might have been a whole heap different. And then he was stiffed by Carlos Sainz, who decided to just drive in the side of him for fun. So it was a bit of a horror race for Oscar and a dream race for Lando.
Well, Carlos did get penalized in the end, but only because he's Spanish, as we're about to touch on, I think. So that's
let's rip into that. Fernando Alonso, I love this, has blasted stewards for perceived bias over a four-car crash at the first turn of the sprint race on Saturday, and it wasn't even investigated. The crash started with Alonso whacking the inside of teammate Lance Stroll, but the impact was made much worse when Lewis Hamilton steamed down from a million miles away and took Alonso out and pushed him further into Stroll, who then went into Lando. The stewards justified their non-investigation on the grounds that no one driver was predominantly to blame and that it was on the first lap where leniency is exercised. Alonso told Spanish TV station DAZN, good watch, that Hamilton wouldn't be penalised because he's not Spanish. FIA stewards David Croft and Ted Gravis said that Alonso was talking out his ass.
Yeah, look, it's been a while since we've had a good old-fashioned claim of national favouritism at the FIA. I'm not sure the evidence is quite as overwhelming as, you know, Balestre favouring Alain Prost to the point that McLaren was protesting its own driver. Alonso does say lots of things. You know, he does come out with some bizarre things from time to time. I can't for the life of me work out why the FIA would have something against Spanish. You know, like, if you were talking about MotoGP, you could make a claim that, you know, you've got Dorna, a Spanish organisation. You know, if there were claims that they were getting favoured in MotoGP or something, then you could kind of draw the... You could draw, you know, you could piece the, what am I trying to say here? You know, join the dots. You could join the dots and, yeah, you could join the dots and go, yeah, okay, maybe that's a worthwhile conspiracy. But for there just to be this calculated campaign against two Spanish drivers in F1, I don't know.
I love him. He's brilliant. Logan Sargeant appears to be on borrowed time in Formula One, with Williams having requested clearance to replace the American. Kimi Antonelli has been heavily linked with graduating into motorsports premier class next season, with Williams looking as a likely initial destination as early as this year. At 17, Antonelli does not meet the minimum age for a super license, which the FIA set after Verstappen's F1 debut as a 16-year-old. That's unbelievable when you think about it. Yeah, the Italian turns 18 on the Sunday of the Dutch Grand Prix in late August, meaning he could be on the grid for the Italian Grand Prix a week later without FIA dispensation.
Yeah, there's more than enough smoke for there to be some sort of fire burning in the background here. Look, from what I understand from people that would definitely know that I actually spoke to this morning about this, that application for the dispensation has definitely been lodged. I think that you know, borrowed time is a very good way to describe Logan Sargeant and Formula One right now.
Let's go over to Aussies and Kiwis abroad. And I know you don't get very excited about this, but Team Honda's Aussie rookie, Jet Lawrence, grabbed his eighth win of his debut season, extending his championship lead to 20 points with one round remaining in the 2024 Monster Energy AMA Supercross season. He can't lose. His nearest competitor actually hurt his wrist on the weekend. Unlikely that he's going to trouble him. His brother
Hunter...
Didn't
you say that once before and he did like a triple front flip and like... completely decimated his championship lead.
That's Supercross, mate. That happens quite a lot. But he's got one round to go. His brother Hunter, old MILF himself, he finished second, marking the first time in Supercross history that brothers finished 1-2 in the premier class. Mate, I know you don't get excited about this, but this is huge. This is as big as it gets. This is like someone going over from Australia and winning WRC in their first year.
No, I know. I know it's a big deal, and I know these guys are very, very good. So it is. I don't know what it is about Supercross. I find it. I know it's highly technical and all that sort of stuff. I just find it a bit too slow.
Jeez.
I find it just visually, it just looks a bit too slow.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's so I don't know. There's something about it that I go, it just doesn't grab me. Like motocross, where they're out like absolutely hooking it. Obviously, it would never be the sort of TV sport and the spectator sport that supercross can be. But, you know, that's really impressive. And I know, I understand it. I know people involved in it. I've had it explained to me just how hard it is. And I still sit down and watch it. And I'm like, I don't know. It's real slow. Anyway, that's just me.
Finally, good luck to two-time Trans Am Series winner Nathan Hearn, who will join Team Liebherr Motorsport and race at Spa-Francorchamps in May in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Europe Series. Good little coup and nice-looking car.
It is. I just hope this isn't where his career is going. I want to see that guy ever have a proper crack in a supercar. Like, I just don't I just don't want it to kind of fizzle out now and end up going down this path of whatever this is. Like, I think he's got the goods to have a really good go. And I think it's, yeah, it would be, he just sort of feels like he's in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment, and you don't want to be at that, in that, when you're sort of at the phase of your career that he's in. So I hope there's, hope he can put something really good together for next year in Super 2 or whatever it is that can get him on the, sort of get him on the map a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But again, driving a Lambo around Spa in May, not a bad little outcome for your life if that's the worst thing that's going on.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the break and we'll come back with some unlikely headlines. This episode of Full Credit of the Noise is brought to you by Rock Energy Drinks, proud sponsors of Jason Barguana's number 11, Kelly Racing Commodore. Rock Energy are the newest player in the energy drink world. We're about to crush the big boys, so say goodbye to Red Bull and Monster. One taste of Rock Energy will have you asking the same question everyone else is asking. How do they get a possum to squat over a can for so long? But drink it with a double shot of vodka and you won't give two hoots that it tastes like licking a cat's bum. It'll still get your heart pumping. And speaking of heart pumping, look out for the Rock Energy merchandise. Hoodies, t-shirts and defibs will be available at Merchandise Alley at your next supercar round. And don't forget to look out for Bargs when he makes his next in-store appearance for Rock Energy at some random IGA in the burbs. Rock Energy, remember the name, because you'll never forget the taste. Yes, welcome back to Full Credit to the Noise. I thought in this off week we might do some unlikely headlines, given there's not much happening in the world of motorsport, or especially around Australia at the moment. So basically, anyone who hasn't heard this before, we're going to offer up some headlines that you're probably not going to read, let's be honest. They're not going to make the front page of Speed Cafe anytime soon, I'm pretty sure. They're either unlikely or unable to be said. What about this one?
Yeah.
Premier Racing employee qualifies for long service leave.
Yeah, that's a beauty. I like that. I don't think you'll... Yeah, that is an absolute...
The moment they'll be struggling.
I actually had a very similar one. I had a very similar one, actually, which I may as well chuck out there now. So this starts with a quote, this headline, which is, you know, not used that often, but couldn't be happier with the entire team, declares Peter Zibris on Sunday night in Darwin.
Oh, Darwin, you're going back to there as well. That's a bit edgy.
Well, that's where hunting season generally kicks off down at Premier. That's where someone usually doesn't come out the other side of Darwin.
Someone shows a throw.
The weight.
Likes to throw a tizzy fit, and next thing you know, they're out the door. Who knew? What about this one? Former legend declares the Cameron Waters XB Falcon Coupe as an absolute shitbox. Mate, have you seen that thing? It is a work of art.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that might have got you
my
excited.
My God, it's beautiful. It is something else. Cameron, well done. And to whoever who helped build it, that is a piece of gear, that thing. It's beautiful. It's everything I'd ever want in a car.
It's nice to see drivers doing
it. I love
it. You know, like they just love cars.
It's, mate.
They just love cars. You know, there's, and a lot of them, I know, like a lot of guys have built stuff. Toddy Hazelwood
built
something as well. What did he build? He built something. Guys just like building cars. It's good to see. It's good to see that, you know, the passion is actually there. It's not just a job. These guys just love their cars.
I think I commented on one of his Instagram posts and said, I'm harder than a cat's head. And I did say it was. That is some sort of car. What do you got?
It's this is actually an interesting segment this week, because there's a couple out there that should be in here that kind of have become likely headlines.
Go on.
You know, Lando Norris wins F1 race.
Trying to forget, man. Come on.
Or like Grove Racing makes incredibly normal co-driver signing. Like, you wouldn't expect that one. But
that's a good little signing.
No, I've got a proper. Yeah, no, it is. I've got a proper unlikely headlight here. Adrian Newey spotted looking in real estate office window in Albury.
Oh, nice. Yes. I don't think he's allowed many.
He's off to Brad's.
I don't think
that's what I'm
supercars
hearing.
Supercars are giving him the sort of freedoms that Adrian's looking for, but I know what you're saying.
Imagine going from earning 60 million euros a year. You'd buy a nice house.
I was going to say 60 million euros a year down in Albury will get you something. Did you see Ricardo's car at the Miami Grand Prix, the Red Bull Visa Cash App, whatever it's called, pink, blue, green. Have you seen that?
Did it?
Because my heading is...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
My headline is, crackhead declares Ricardo's Miami car not bright enough. Mate, that thing, you needed sunglasses to look at it. It was retina burning. It looked good, but I liked it, in other news.
Yeah. I had a Ricardo one here as well.
Go on.
Daniel Ricardo has good race weekend, top to bottom, with no nasty surprises. Just a good one.
Mate, that...
Just goes well.
That qualifying session where he ran 17th, you have to ask, what happened? Like, he was flying only hours earlier. It's heartbreaking now, because I was already envisaging he'll qualify.
Well, there was something about tyres.
I get it.
Yeah, there's something about tyres or whatever.
Yeah, it didn't help.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about this one? Despite running second in Miami, Max Verstappen voted driver of the day.
Is that what actually happened?
No, it's not.
Surely Lando won driver of the day.
Of course he did. It's an English channel promoting an English English audience. Max Verstappen ain't winning that ever.
He wins it when he comes 12th.
Yeah.
Like he won the race. He must have won.
Oh, he would have.
I've got a Miami one as well. F1 driver avoids contact with NFL football throughout entire Miami
impossible.
GP week.
No, impossible.
Just doesn't touch one. Just doesn't touch. Actually, you could apply this to European, EPL clubs and other European football clubs with Aussie rules football whenever they play
it's embarrassing.
Exhibition matches in any of the AFL states. They are just like, they are handed a Sharon at the airport as they like walk off and people are taking photos.
What do you reckon about these blokes that get given a Collingwood jumper at the airport, then they're wearing a Blues jumper 3 days later, and then they're at training for the Hawks? Yeah. It's like, I wonder what happens to those jumpers, more importantly. Where do they end up?
Yeah, exactly.
What about this one? This car is perfect. Lewis Hamilton absolutely wrapped with the Mercedes. Nothing to change.
Mm.
He looks like a bloke lost.
Yeah, I remember reading that one around 20... Probably maybe at times in 2021 we might have read that, but geez, haven't heard much about it since.
Did you hear him
gone quiet on that
when
front.
He came down the inside in the sprint race? He said to his team, I just seen a hole and went for it. I reckon you can translate what he was saying is, if I had crashed, I wouldn't have given two hoots. That's almost what he was saying.
Yeah.
He couldn't have cared less.
Yeah.
Very un-Lewis. Like, I think he is dead set counting down the days. He would have been looking at those Ferraris and thinking, you beauty. What do you got?
Betty Clemenko cuts Peter Adderton, good deal on Erebus, Barry Ryan to stay on as co-team principal alongside Telco Kingpin.
Look, it's a mouthful, I'm not going to lie, but it's also very unlikely.
Yeah, you need all that detail in the headline. Like, that is all crucial detail that needs to be there. Imagine Pete and Baz running the show. Be great. That's all right. I've only got one more. I've gone with I've gone with a local flavour on this one.
Mm.
Australian F4 race happens with more than 10 cars.
How many was there?
Oh, like 9 or 10.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't even look, to be honest. Yeah.
It's almost like we've seen this movie before.
Yeah, man. Come on. We don't need it. Things you don't need.
And back then, the last round of Australian Formula 4 wasn't at Sepang as well. It's a weird setup.
Yeah. You ever been to Sepang?
I have, yes. I've covered MotoGP there.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I'd go back there if the Grand Prix was on. If they ever go back there. Good look. All right, we'll come back. I'm in all sorts of trouble with the Mun's Life sticker challenge on Rear of Grid. It is currently, what are we on? You're up by 3, that's all I know. 8-5.
Yeah,
I mean all sorts.
Yeah, I went back to my 3. I've never got above a 3-point lead, so that's the game today.
All right, well, let's find out after the break.
Right now, if you're scaffing, critting, screeding, HVACing, dunny diving, or electrician-ing, sparking, then you don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with a work truck that's smoking. You could get an insurance company that includes roadside assistant for when your work truck ain't starting and needs towing. Get on to truckassist.com.au. It's insurance to keep on earning and bacon and egg rolling. Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website.
Yes, welcome back to Rear of Grid, the final segment of Full Credit to the Noise this week. Well, it's time for the Mum's Life Challenge. As I said, I'm in all sorts of trouble. If anyone hasn't heard this, I'm going to make a statement. AVL's going to tell me, is it a lie or is it fact? At the moment, he's leading 8-5 in correct guesses, and whoever loses has to put a hashtag Mum's Life sticker on their car for the end of the year. Oh, for an entire year, I should say.
If Tim Nacky can get to $1 million, I can get to a 4-point. Oh, that's all I need.
Is that the greatest story on Instagram history, you reckon?
The best.
Although I love that guy.
We're recording on Monday, Arvo. Boy, he took a bath today.
Yeah, didn't he? Double down. Stupid. Yeah. All right. I'm going to read you this. Now, I want you to concentrate. Mm-hmm. In 2015, NASCAR driver Jeff Gordon admitted on the Dave Letterman show that he and his spotter, Eddie DeHaunt, who he grew up with, used to pretend to be police officers when they first got their licenses, sitting in Gordon's dad's Lincoln and chasing after speeding drivers on the highway, flashing their lights, often making cars slow down and pull over before the two boys took off again. About 2 months after the story came out on Letterman, then Indiana governor and noted revhead Joe Biden heard the story and loved it so much he made Gordon an honorary police officer of Pittsburgh, his hometown. True or false?
All right, you've got me on this one. Absolutely guessing. I'm going to say true.
8-6. Here we go. Come on.
There's not one word of that. I don't know why I said true. I don't know. I can't verify any of those facts. What's frustrating is having my phone sitting here. So I could really work out a lot of this.
Here's the only true thing, and that is Jeff Gordon was made an honorary police officer in 2015. Every other piece of that was absolute rubbish.
It sounds like rubbish, but it's the sort of rubbish that can be true as well.
Correct. Correct.
Here's
my whisper of the week.
Nacky and I both have taken big baths today.
Double down. My whisper of the week, and this comes from, I won't say who, but there are some concerns over the ditch about the second New Zealand supercar round set to take place in 2025. There are whispers that Highlands is already locked in, and some of the locals who use the track are concerned that there will need to be changes in and around the track to add or fit in new infrastructure, with some of the forest section needing to be lopped if rumours are right. There you go.
I don't think rumours are right, because I can't see there being a second New Zealand round next year. Even this week, we did a polarizer pod with Tony Quinn on it, and he was kind of walking back on that kind of immediate introduction of a second New Zealand round. He also made it clear that he won't hold a sprint round at Highlands. And I've heard there has been some campaigning for a two-driver enduro there, which will be very hard to get the teams on board for. So, you know, even a sticking point like that can push things out for a year or whatever. I think Highlands is the logical place to do it if they were going to do it, but I think it's a fairly medium to long-term proposition and not something that's going to take place next year, because there are changes that need to be made to the track. What Quinny did say is that the cars will be sea freighted to NZ next year. So whether that's using a Roro and taking the trucks or just container freight, I don't know, but it does open that door to taking trucks and maybe trying to make the transport inside New Zealand easier. But it also means that sea freight means the cars are going to be away for longer. So if you then do a double header or a two rounds, you know, even if they're not back to back, suddenly it just elongates the time that the cars are outside of Australia and sort of gives you this really big break in terms of Australian rounds. So I don't want to be a killjoy. Maybe I'm wrong, because again, as I've said before, in this case of Quinny, that money can solve absolutely anything. I really just don't feel like two New Zealand rounds is something that we're going to be seeing in the short term. That's how I feel about it right now. That's not based on knowing for sure it's not happening. It's just the sentiment, once the kind of enthusiasm from, you know, sort of boils down a little bit, is, oh, this isn't actually as easy as it kind of sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I still think in my mind, it still makes sense to have two rounds over there. They deserve it. They did miss out on a couple of years. COVID killed it for 1 year, and then this whole Pukekohe thing has been sort of thrown in the air as well. I'd love to see two rounds over there. Kiwis deserve it. And plus, it would be a bigger chance of me going over for at least one of those. Now, We're going to two fan letters of the week, or one fan letter from the week, and then we're going to revisit one from last week, I think you were telling me.
Well, should we do that first? Should we get stuck into that before we introduce a new letter? Yeah, so I don't know if it was last week or the week before or whatever, but we did get a question about BJR's pit stops and why they always win the pit stop challenge, and they are generally just the absolute guns when it comes to, well, using rattle guns. So I recorded a hard card podcast with Andre Heimgartner a few days ago, and I asked him about it, and he said it could be traced back to when very well-known engineer and team manager Wally Storey was at BJR. By coincidence, Wally, who was a close family friend, was in WA hanging out with my old man over the weekend, so I had a chance to ask him about it. And he said that it was a conscious decision that they made at some point, you know, as more and more parts of the cars became controlled and teams had less freedom in what they do. So we're probably talking, you know, car of the future era there. You know, one of the things that the teams could still really control was stop. So he put a program together. They started recording pit stop practices, reviewing broadcast footage from all the teams to see who did what, and just worked and worked until they were the best at it. You know, I won't go into all of the methods they used to do that because that's their IP, but he said the critical part was there was buy-in from enough of the crew at the time, you know, who went, yeah, like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's actually work hard on this and get, then become the best at it. And what he said was it's super impressive that, you know, he left that team in 2019 and the team is still the benchmark for pit stops. So it's just become part of the team culture. So yeah, there's a bit more detail to the answer because I sort of assumed that it was along those lines, but you know, when we answered it a couple of weeks ago, we just sort of said, well, they obviously just try harder than everyone else, and they do, but yeah, a very calculated, long-standing plan that extends back, you know, probably more than 10 years.
So there you go, listeners. If you write a letter in, you never know where it's going to end up, but that's pretty good insight. The other thing that BJR are good at, probably market leaders at the moment, is their social media. They are leading the charge with that. The stuff Brad does, technical and otherwise, on YouTube brilliant. Is just good watching. Yeah, it's a really good. And again, a small team just achieving stuff where they can. You know, it's a good watch. All right, this is our official letter of the week. Now you can write to us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, all the same address at FCTTN Podcast. And this one's from Mick Builder on Facebook. He says, "Hey boys, with the potential of Erebus being on the market, I was wondering if the purchaser would be buying a business that makes money. In other words, are supercar teams profitable businesses, or are they hobbies for their wealthy owners? Keep up the good work, and cheers, Mick Builder." What do you got? Because you're going to be more qualified to answer this than me.
Yeah, I mean, they can be either of those things, but they can be profitable businesses. You know, most of the teams would be. I mean, you know, we're just talking about Brad Jones. He doesn't roll out the track just for the fun of it. That's obviously an entity that makes money. I would imagine that Erebus at the end of last year would have been very well commercialized and profitable. Whether that's the case right now, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's definitely not, but obviously there is a lot of sponsorship money that is no longer coming through the door. That's one of the teams that can afford not to be perfectly commercialized all of the time, just because of the fact that, you know, the majority owner, Betty Klemenko, has plenty of money to prop the thing up if she needs to. But, you know, in most cases, you know, there's no doubt, like, yeah, the teams can make money if you've got the right sponsors involved. And if you don't have the right sponsor involved, well, you kind of end up looking for drivers that can bring the money. That's why it happens, you know. If you had teams where it was all about someone just tipping money into it, then you wouldn't have drivers that necessarily get somewhere because they can bring their own money, whether it's family money or sponsorship money or whatever, you know. It's a fine line. Like, you look at the fact that, you know, even the good drivers, if they can come with some commercial backing, that makes a hell of a lot of difference when they're out on the market as well. But yeah, no, they definitely, if you were buying the right team, you would be buying a profitable business.
What would be an interesting study would be an income stream that was huge back in the day. And I just wonder whether it's changed in merchandise. Back in the day, there were all sorts of stories about how much HRT, 888, and the like, and FPR for that matter, were making just through merchandise sales. And I reckon, gut feel is that has dissipated compared to what it used to be at in its glory days. I don't know.
And look, I'll ask the question. We'll find. We can do what we did this week. We can circle back to this stuff. I honestly don't know, but I would also be hugely surprised if it hasn't tailed off to some extent. Just the price of that stuff. Like, forget a Maine lobster roll. Like, go try and buy a hat at the Grand Prix. Like, they're insane, you know. And obviously, supercar stuff is different, but you're still not. There's not. Yeah, you know, I don't spend much time down in the merch area, to be honest. But I'll go for a wander in Perth and have a look and see what it is actually. What stuff is really going for? But it's just got. It just feels like it's all got very, very expensive.
Yeah, I just think people are a little bit more wise with their money, because back in the day, mate, everyone who was at the track had some kind of supercar merch on.
Speedway is right now. You go down the Speedway and 99% of people there are wearing merch on any given night. But you know, the stuff's all fairly affordable. You know, because it's guys just go and get a bunch of hoodies printed, a bunch of t-shirts printed, and sell them for $30 or $50 or whatever. Their buy-in is massive, but again, you're not talking about professional teams that are kind of living or dying by it, but a lot of those teams do pretty well out of that stuff as well. So yeah, I know that there were definitely times where that was a massive income stream for teams.
Yeah,
for
I think the best case study would be if you could probably get hold of, say, FPR and maybe 888. That would be the two best ones to ask at the moment, because Walkinshaws have obviously, their lives have changed. In fact, the people who were in charge of merch back in the HRT days wouldn't even be part of Walkinshaw or Andretti United. So, you know, whether you could find out, it'd be just an interesting little study.
The whole licensing issue with Monster would be a massive kick in the teeth for Tickford in terms of selling their stuff as well. Not being able to sell Monster gear. Less than ideal.
Yeah. It's interesting. All right, that'll do us for this episode of Full Crew of the Noise. AVL's got streets to walk through and without any bins, obviously, because he's over in Bali. You can follow us on all the socials at FCTTN Podcast. You can read AVL's excellent work at Speed Cafe. Even when he's on holidays, he's not on holidays. If you want to read all the big breaking news, head over to Speed Cafe. Until next time, I've been Former Legend. He's been AVL. This has been Full Crew of the Noise, and we'll see you at Karakaban Jail. See ya.
Right. Full credit.